This episode of the Steve Des Allen Podcast is brought to you by TheNoteShow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, The Note Show is a brand new show from England featuring interviews with creative professionals of all kinds, jazz pianists, graphic novel writers, Hollywood film editors, and so much more. They have great musical artists before you hear them anywhere else and in-depth interviews with a lot of laughs too. Your host is the one and only Joshua Note, and next year they'll be coming to America to tour and to meeting people across the nation who have talent and passion for their work. Hey, I might be on it. Who knows? You can find them on iTunes by searching for The Note Show or at www.thenoteshow.com. That's www.thenoteshow.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Check them out. They're definitely worth listening to. And you definitely, if you like my type of show, you are going to freaking love The Note Show, because it's basically what I do, but they do a little twist towards it because they go across the globe just looking for people that are the creative types. And it's a great show. So go to www.thenoteshow.com. And for my Spanish-speaking people, listen up. Este episodio de Steve Des Allen Podcast ha sido traído a ustedes por TheNoteShow.com. Damas y caballeros, The Note Show es un nuevo show de Inglaterra donde hacen entrevistas a diferentes tipos de artistas, como gente que toca piano, escritores de novelas gráficas, editores de Hollywood y mucho, mucho más. Ellos tienen diferentes tipos de artistas de música. Antes de que tú los escuches en la radio o en los charts de Billboard, ellos lo tienen aquí primero. Y también tienen muchos comediantes que a lo mejor me van a tener a mí, porque escuché una noticia de que The Note Show viene a América para conocer a diferentes tipos de personas en el mundo de creatividad, como yo, por ejemplo, que hago comedia y hago música de vez en cuando y escribo. A lo mejor me tienen a mí en su show. Así que tienen que ir a www.thenoteshow.com. También los puedes encontrar en iTunes buscando The Note Show. Y también ellos tienen Facebook, Twitter. Lo que ustedes tengan, ellos lo tienen también, como yo, ¿sabes? Si está en Facebook, si está en Twitter, busca The Note Show o ve a www.thenoteshow.com. Ve al website y chequea lo que ellos tienen que traer para usted. Y el anfitrión para este show es el único e incomparable Joshua Note. Así que si te gusta mi tipo de programa, que yo traigo gente aquí, le hago entrevistas o hablo yo mismo solo de vez en cuando, pues chequea www.thenoteshow.com. Ellos tienen una tremenda variedad de cosas que puedes escuchar, pero todo está ahí en www.thenoteshow.com. Hey guys, you ready to get this podcast started? Let's go. I'm so ready. Let's start the show.
You are now listening to the Steve Des Allen Podcast. Get ready for some tropical conversations and some refreshing guests. Now, here's Steve Des.
Hey. It's me, Steve Des. I'm back here with a brand new Steve Des Allen Podcast. The podcast I bring people, the creative type people, like I said in the beginning of the show. You know, and I talk to them and I do things like that, and we talk and we have a great time in this podcast, man. And today's guest is myself. I apologize in advance because I was supposed to do this podcast Sunday. You know, I missed the Sunday. I just had a lot going on. My girlfriend left for San Diego to visit her family. I had to do, I've been doing work during the holidays. So when you guys are opening presents, I want you to think that I am working my butt off. I am not going to have Christmas this year. I'm skipping it. But I skipped years. I skipped a lot of holidays. I remember ever since, like, I got out of high school years ago, I always been really busy in the sense of I never really celebrate holidays unless somebody drags me to go to a certain holiday. I remember my first Thanksgiving outside of my whole family tradition type of thing. I was working at this restaurant in Florida. I'm not going to mention the name because I don't want any trouble. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to say it because I don't give a fuck, man. But I used to work at this restaurant called Genghis Grill, right? It's a Mongolian stir-fry place, and they have it a lot in the East Coast. They have a lot of chains in Texas because that's where it's originally from. But I used to work there, and it was... I thought the experience of that job was going to be amazing. And it was cool because the people there were pretty cool, at least my coworkers. They were awesome. But then my managers, man, they were fucking dicks, man. The biggest dicks on the world. And the thing is, they never were like that. They were like that, I mean, I guess, because it was frustrating to open a restaurant in such a small city that is just overpopulated by little restaurants here and there. I get it's frustrating to sometimes get the amount of money or you're expecting an amount of money and you don't get it that week. I get it's frustrating, but you always have to treat people the nicest way possible. And that's the reason I even got really enthusiastic of working with them, because I'm going to tell you how I got that job. I was applying for jobs over and over. I was starting college, and I was applying for jobs everywhere. Burger King, I applied. McDonald's, I applied. Best Buy, I applied. Every single place you can think of, I was applying because I needed a job bad to support myself in every shape, way, or form. Because my mom is the type of mom that she puts me on a leash when you're in high school, but then afterwards she's like, go and run free. You got to deal with life, and that's the way it is. And I love that way. I really feel like that's the way pretty much everybody, well, not everybody, because not everybody has the type of mentality I do, but I think the majority of the people should have that type of experience, because you have to realize that you're alone here. Like, you have to make things happen. Things are not going to be handed to you. You need to work extremely hard if you really want to accomplish any type of dream or any type of work or any type of thing you want to accomplish. And when I was working at this restaurant, I was applying different places. And the only place I got called back from was McDonald's. And honestly, I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, oh my God, if I work at McDonald's, this is going to be the lowest I'm going to sink. But for me, I don't want to, if you are listening to me and you work at McDonald's, good for you, man. You have a job. There's tons of people that are unemployed and wish they had a job. I'm an actor. I'm constantly unemployed. So I know the feeling. So to have a job is great. But to work at McDonald's, at least for me and my point of view and how I see things, for me, that's the lowest of low, because that's not something I want to do, you know? And even if I have a day job, I would like to do something I'm interested in. I would not like to do something I'm obligated to, because that's the only way I could get income off of it. And I was really bummed out. I was really depressed, and I was highly considering going to McDonald's. But I said, if I do that, I'm going to be the most depressed person in the entire world, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to work at McDonald's. I don't want to be giving people Big Macs on a drive-thru. It's not my ambition, my vision of life. So I was back in the corner, and I didn't know what to do. And then my sister, how life works. My sister, she had this friend. This guy was a really creepy guy. Like, something was really... You can tell from a mile away that this guy's kind of off. Like, he has something, a screw loose or whatever. But that dude, he was going to an open call that day for this new restaurant that they were going to open up, a.k.a. Genghis Grill. But at that time, I didn't know what it was. And he said, hey, you should come and whatever and go and apply. And I said, okay, you know, I was really bummed out because I've been applying every single place in the entire town. And nobody was really calling me, except McDonald's. They kept calling and calling. And then I said, you know, I don't lose anything with going. I'm just going to waste my day at the house anyway. I might as well go. So I went, not with the best attitude in the world, but the man, the people interviewing were the actual, like, chain managers. And they were the coolest fucking guys ever. Two dudes from Texas. Mad nice, mad cool. And actually, I'm going to tell you how I even got the job. So one of the biggest pet peeves of mine, and not just mine, but every single, I would say the majority of stand-up comedians, is when you mention the fact that you're a comedian. And people quickly go like, oh, tell me a joke. Oh, you're funny? Say something funny. Oh, come on. You know, they want to test you. Like, you don't go, you don't say to somebody, hey, oh, you work at Best Buy? Okay, show me, how will you sell my TV? Like, people don't do that. They just say, okay, you work at Best Buy? Cool. But all of a sudden, because you're a stand-up comedian, you all of a sudden have to be funny. And I'm a person that I tend to be funny casually as well. I limit myself to the way I'm funny towards people, because some people can get really pissed off, and I've noticed that lately that I cannot really let myself be myself with everybody, just because some people might take my jokes or things like that to offense and not in a right way. And I don't want that. I always want people to laugh and be happy and be funny. But my type of jokes sometimes could be really harsh. But I'm just joking, but that's just the way I am. But if you don't know me like that, you might back away, or you might feel like I'm insulting you in a way, but I'm not at all. And I just noticed that recently. I actually had a talk with one of my improv colleagues, because another one of our colleagues might be a little pissed off at me, but a thing I did in a scene, and it was an improv scene. It was fake. You know, we're just joking around, and I said a comment about specifically weight. But it was because of the scene. Like, my character was this huge dick, and he just wanted to get laid, and that other person didn't want to. That's a longer story. But anyway, the thing is, I mentioned that comment, and she got pretty pissed off at that, I guess. I was noticing, like, a weird vibe with her. So I ended up just, I had to talk. I haven't talked yet to her, but I'm going to talk to her when she comes back to town, one-on-one, to settle all that thing, you know. But anyway, going back to my story, the Gingrich Grill, I was applying for that job, and I went in, and the managers were super cool and everything. And they were like, oh, so what do you do for fun? Like, what are your hobbies, or what are things you want to do eventually? And I said, well, I will love to one day, I don't know when, but one day live in L.A. And try to make my dreams come true, you know, become a movie star, do a bunch of stand-up, help people out, just act, man, and just be a creative person, and just do a lot of things. They're like, oh, yeah, do you do, like, comedy and stuff? I'm like, yeah, I do my share of stand-up comedy, because that's what I used to do back in the day only. I didn't do improv or anything, just stand-up. And they were like, oh, you do stand-up? Tell me some jokes. And right there and there, that's where my whole stand-up mind came through. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing, because I just hate when people put you on the spot like that and be like, be funny, because it's added pressure to, like, be funny. And this is for a job interview. And I'm talking to the district managers, the people that run the chain from, like, Texas and Florida and some parts of Atlanta, and, you know, those people. These are higher power people. And this is for a job. So I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to leave my pride aside and leave my pet peeves aside, and I'm just going to do jokes. So I just started telling jokes, and that dude was hysterically laughing really, really hard. And take in mind, this was years and years ago. My English wasn't even that good. He probably was laughing at my accent. I don't know. Or maybe at my jokes. Who knows? But anyway, the dude said, oh my God, you're so hilarious. I'm going to stop you real quick because the other manager has to see you. So he calls this other manager that he's even more powerful than everything because he controls the chains, not only from Texas and Florida and Atlanta, but also New York and other places. And he's like, you got to check this dude out. He's so fucking funny. And I started saying the same jokes that I told him. I just said it back to him. And he was laughing not as hysterically as him, but he was laughing quite pretty good. And they were like, yeah, I like this kid. He's cool, whatever. And then next thing you know, I am training with them. So they were opening the restaurant, and I was training with them. Really awesome stuff. It was like a couple weeks for training because they were building. This is a brand new restaurant. They're building from zero up. So while they were building the restaurants, we were training inside with some corporate people from Texas that came, and it was honestly one of the best experiences ever. Because it was so, I never ever worked at a serving job. That was my first and only time I ever worked at a serving job. And I had the choice in my hands to do whatever the fuck I wanted. Like, they literally say, you want to be a bartender? You could be a bartender. You want to be a server? You could be a server. You want to be a prep cook? You could be a prep cook. You want, the only thing is manager. That's the only thing I can't be. But I could be a cook. I could be a prep. I could be a buzzer. I could be a server. I could be anything I wanted. I honestly just wanted to be a server because I'm really good with people. I like talking to people. It's my thing, customer service. I just enjoy it, and I just love interacting with people, period. So I didn't want to be in the back or anything. And bartender, I feel like you always have to be either a big guy, like one of those weirdos, douchebags with tattoos, you know, and go like, yeah, yeah, I'll serve you drinks. You know, I'll holler at you. I'll give you drinks for free, girl. I'm not that type of guy. I'm a skinny guy, not that tall. So I can really do serving job pretty cool. So that's what I decided to do. But it was such a great experience because I got to really interact with people, and I really got to know everybody. And that's what I really enjoyed about high school, because in Puerto Rico, my class was only like 93 people in total. I knew absolutely everybody. Now, I don't know, because I don't really keep in touch with not all of them, but some of them. But before, when we were in school, I knew everybody. I knew what you love to eat. I knew your mom's name. I knew your number, even by heart, because at that time I really didn't have like cell phones like that. So I knew pretty much everything and anything about you. And that's what this training gave me the opportunity to get to know, really, like my coworkers and the people that are going to be eventually my friends and the people I'm going to work with, you know. And the great thing also about the job, it was right in front of my house. I could literally go walking. I could go bike riding. I could go by my car and be lazy, you know. But it was right in front of my house. It would literally take me 5 minutes to get there. Like, no matter if it's raining, if there's a hurricane, if there's whatever, it's right there, right in front of my house. So it was the perfect job, at least for that time. After months, maybe a year and a couple months of working there, things were turning sour. People were leaving the job. There was a lot of pressure working there. There were many, many nights that it was terrible. I remember me and this girl, we were both had a night that we had about, almost 120 people table just for both of us. Like, we got handpicked to be because we were, like, top of the line customer service people and whatever. And we just got picked, us two, to be the people in charge to, like, serve those tables. So we were just like, we are going to make money tonight. Like, this is the night we were waiting for. And we had this big ass table, 120, mainly white people, just drinking and drinking and drinking and buying stuff and buying stuff. We were like, oh my God, our tip is going to be so great. And then afterwards, I want you to think right now, just say a number in your head. of how much money we made that night. I'm going to give you a second. Okay, second's gone. You ready? You ready? We got 20 bucks in total. Because this is my theory. I think they assume gratuity was included, but at this restaurant, gratuity wasn't included. Like, you have to put it on top. So we ended up just getting 20 bucks. The party left, and I just gave the 20 bucks to the girl. I left with nothing. The girl was literally on a corner crying. I was angry. I'm a guy. I'm not going to be crying over that. well, I can cry sometimes. But I wasn't going to cry over that, at least. But she was just heartbroken because she was thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to make at least 100 bucks, you know, at least. And but she only made it. We were supposed to be 10 and 10 because we were going to split it evenly no matter what. But I just gave her 20 bucks. She was like, no. Let's whatever. But I'm like, no, take it, because you're definitely more heartbroken about this than me. And I'm a guy, whatever, I'll resolve my ways or whatever. But we complained with the manager and they really didn't do that much. But then afterwards, the thing that I hate about people in general and the people I personally don't like in particular is when they try to make you feel belittled, like make you feel like you're underneath them and they're above you. That's why I hate the fact I can never work a corporate job. I can never work again for like a company, you know, big company like that. I don't like having a boss. I don't like having somebody telling me what to do. I'm just that type of person. I like to be in control of my own life because it's my life. And little by little, I started noticing that the whole atmosphere at this restaurant changed. Everybody here was just straight up they were like really downers. They had a really bad attitude, and it was because of management. Management, little by little, they were getting on people's heads, and they were pressuring you, like, work harder. You're not doing enough. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Keep doing this and whatever. What the fuck are you doing? They just started cursing at people for no reason. Like, I will go and whatever. Let's say, and one night, I probably, you know, because I'm putting money on my apron constantly. And sometimes, because of that whole apron thing, I probably lose 10 bucks here and there. And I probably have to make it up on my own money. And I put it in. And they will get pissed off because there was, like, a little mistake. And I get it. It's my job. I'm supposed to do as perfect as I can. But we are human, and we sometimes make mistakes. And the only thing you could do, me, if I was the manager in this situation, I would be like, you know, just be careful next time, blah, 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 blah. Unless it's happening constantly, I get it. But if it happens just one time, there's no right for you to go, like, what the fuck are you doing? You're not fucking worth it, this and that. Just telling you things to bring you down and down and down and constantly saying, like, I'm above you. I'm basically better than you. You're nothing. You're nothing without me. You're nothing without this company. You're nothing without our money that we're giving you. And then they start fucking with my schedule. Like, sometimes I will go and I'm not even in the roster. And they were like, oh, no, it's a machine problem. I'm sorry. That's why a bunch of, especially dishwashers. Oh my God. I had pressure as a server. I don't even know the pressure dishwashers have. Because we had, honestly, between like 3 months straight, just dishwashers quitting on the spot. Not putting 2 weeks notice. No, quitting on the spot, like straight up. They will walk in the middle of, it will be full, and they'll be like, fuck this job, quitting, opening doors, bam, throwing their stuff on the floor. In the middle of a crowded night, it could be a Friday night, and they will do that. It was insane. It was really insanity. Like, it turned out to be a whole different experience than what I thought I was getting into. It escalated to the point of me quitting on the spot. I remember as clear as day, it was Sunday morning. I wasn't even going to work. I went in to go check out the roster to see, like, what, because they usually either email you or text you the rosters, but I lately they were really slacking. They weren't texting you the rosters. That you had to actually go to a restaurant and find out where you're going to work. Thankfully, again, I worked right in front of the restaurant, and I actually went in, and it was a Sunday, and I went, and my name is not in the roster. And again, I'm like, what, am I even working here? Like, am I even an employee here? Or, like, what's happening? Again, oh, my bad. It's a bunch of computer stuff or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then they just started talking bullshit and bullshit about work and, like, things that I need to improve and things that a couple other people that were there also trying to check their schedule need to improve and just trying to, again, putting themselves above you and making you feel like shit, like you're not worth anything and you're just nothing without them. And that's when I had enough, and I had my only time that I ever done this. And I said, fuck you. Fuck your job. I don't need this. I don't know. I don't even care if I'm unemployed. I would rather be unemployed than being working this miserable fucking restaurant. And I said a bunch of things. You know, it was a blur, but I felt fucking awesome because I know deep down inside that's something tons of people want to do. And I actually did it, and I walked out like a champ. I walked out like I'm fucking Randy Orton, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Like, I'm fucking the shit. even though afterwards I was like, okay, I don't have a job now. Where am I going? So that happened to me. I don't even know what I went on this big tangent about my job, but I just felt like something I need to speak about. But anyway, this week, let me turn this a little bit more positive, because I don't know why I just had that, like, you know, deep down inside, and I just needed to get it out there, just get it the fuck out there, you know, so you guys can hear it, and you guys can feel me, and you guys can get on this wave that I'm in. But this week is Christmas, man. It's Christmas this week, and I'm working. Okay, now I get it. That's where I got it from, because I'm working on holidays, and that happens a lot. That happened a lot when I was working at the restaurant. I skipped a bunch of holidays. And Thanksgiving, I remember the restaurant was closed the first day of Thanksgiving, but then the next days I had to work. So that first day of Thanksgiving, you know, I wasn't going to do anything, just be locked at the house and not celebrate anything. Just because my family's away, you know, and they're in so many different places. My mom's in Puerto Rico, so my sisters are in Florida. One is going to the Navy now. You know, we're all in different places. We're not really together like that. Even when we try to be together, there's something that, you know, kind of separates us. Like, for example, this year, we really wanted to get together. We're going to get together in Florida. But it was such a fucking rough year, man. It was a rough year. I got hit. I mean, I won that game show last year, which was fucking amazing. It really changed my life when I won that NBC game show. But then I got hit left and right. At the beginning of the year, 2013, my friend died. And he didn't die of natural causes. He was a young guy, 20 years old, Julio Lopez. My friend from Puerto Rico, man, he got murdered. He was working at Boost Mobile, and these two fucking dudes came, tied him up, stole the little money that was there, and beat his face with a fire extinguisher. And I'm sorry to be that graphic, but this is truly what happened. And I was completely devastated. Like, I couldn't believe such a thing could happen in such a harsh way to such a positive guy. This dude never fought with nobody. Never. He was constantly, you know, there helping people. He was extremely active in the church community, devoted Christian, great guy. And I know he's watching me, you know, up in the heavens, or, you know, whatever you guys believe in. I like to believe he's in a much better place, because he was such a fucking great guy, man. And I know he's watching me, and he's watching us, and he's awesome. And then when I thought things could not get worse, you know, things could not get worse. There can't be a possibility that things could get worse. Bam, my mom gets cancer. It was insane. It was insane because my mom revealed that to me when I was preparing to go to a showcase. So I was going to this acting showcase that I was talking to my mom on the phone, and we were going back and forth because we fight. I have really strong beliefs, and when people try to go against my beliefs and they try to change my beliefs, that's when I really get agitated. Because I respect your beliefs. I want you to respect mine. But when you try to really hard to try to convince me to change my shit, that's when I really get pissed off. Because you shouldn't. You should let people be, you know? Like, I had this great... I don't believe in the Bible, period. I don't really believe in the... I'm just going to talk frankly to you guys about a bunch of shit. Because Bible was written... I know this is a little controversial, this shit that I'm saying today. But I'm not a really frank believer of the Bible just because it was written by people and stuff like that and blah, blah, blah. And when I have a friend that we were best friends for years and years and years till now, and she was a highly devoted Christian. Like, she was constantly telling me about the Bible and things like that, but she was never trying to change me. She was never trying to be like, Steve, you should read more of the Bible. Steve, you should go more to church. Steve, you should go to my church. Steve, you should do this. Nah. She was saying things because that's the way she is, but she respected the fact that I'm not like that. But we're both friends together, and we talk about fucking MTV and Teen Mom and all that shit that she loves, and all this stuff that we talk about, you know. And it was cool. And you know, I can be friends with tons of people that are extremely religious, and there's no problem. The problem is when people, you know, come knocking on your door and go like, hey, you want to hear about the Lord? I am telling you, he is great. If you read this right here and 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 10, blah, 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 you should do it. You should do it daily. Pray. Why are you doing? And you're just trying to change the way you are. That's when it gets to a problem for me in particular. So, yeah, so just be nice to people, man. This is the lesson of today. Be nice to people. Be nice to people. Talk to them. Be awesome. And that's all you need. Like that Beatles song, all you need is love. Oh, love is all you need. However the song goes, I don't really know how it goes. But that's all you need, honestly. Like, you just need to help people out and try to make the world a better place for you, your children, and everybody. Everybody in the world, just by doing your part. And sometimes we feel like we're not doing that much, but honestly, in a day, you know, it's only 24 hours. Out of that 24 hours, how many times are you sleeping? How many times are you eating? How many times are you watching TV? How many times are you doing this? But if you're doing, in all those 24 hours, you're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that to improve, be more positive. You know, like, for example, every Wednesday, well, not every Wednesday now, but every other Wednesday, I go to Pasadena. I wrote this on my blog, I believe. I think it's on my second blog that I wrote, blog 102, if you want to read about it. But I go to Pasadena, and I do every other Sunday, I do a stand-up set, and I probably talked about this in the podcast, I'm not sure, but I'll talk about it. I go and I see this homeless guy, and it breaks my fucking heart, especially at this time, Christmas time, because it's so fucking cold. I mean, this couple of days, thankfully, in California, is gonna feel like, oh, I'm back, I'm sorry, guys, I pressed the button by accident. No, but this year, I see that guy, and it breaks my heart, especially when it's cold as hell outside, and I see that dude just on the floor trying to sleep, and it's so fucking cold, and that dude has just a bunch of junk that he has, you know, on the side, but it's not really like, he doesn't have really food like that or resources or things like that. And it breaks my heart every time I pass by and I just see that dude. I always try to at least, you know, engage into a little conversation, have a small talk with him, say, hey, how was your day? You know, how you doing? And, you know, because they sometimes need that. They need communication. It's really, it's bad to just be, you know, quiet or in a corner or be neglected or ignored by society most of the times. And I go and I buy him a sandwich as well, or buy him something, you know, so he can eat and have food at least that day. You know, it's not much that I'm doing, and don't feel like I'm a hero or anything, which I'm not at all. I'm just a regular guy, just like you and me. I just happen to work in this amazing industry of acting because I worked really extremely hard to get to this point. And I'm still working extremely hard because I'm nowhere where I want to be, you know. But I want you to do, for example, that simple action that I do, that's so freaking simple. You can do it too. You can pay the toll for if you're listening to in the East Coast and you're riding the turnpike. You know, the turnpike has a lot of toll booths. If you pay one toll of $153, whatever it is, to the person behind you, that's nice. If you buy a Happy Meal, like if you go to McDonald's, talking about McDonald's. McDonald's, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. I'm no way, shape, or form sponsored by McDonald's. But if you're going to McDonald's and you're by the drive-thru, or if you're walking in, pay for the person behind you. Do something nice to people. Open a door. It doesn't have to be with money either. Open a door for somebody. Do, you know, hold the elevator for a second with somebody that's trying to go in. You know, just simple things you can do every single day. It doesn't seem like much, but I'm telling you, it helps. It helps people. You're making people's day. By making people's days, it is the best feeling in the world. Sometimes I go to auditions, and just by me having the opportunity of auditioning or showing casting directors and other people my talent, I feel blessed. I feel great. But you know what really makes my day? Really simple things. Not auditioning, not acting, not being on set, not all that stuff. Simple things. Like, literally, I went to an audition recently. I went to this place that I audition a lot in Santa Monica Beach. And afterwards, I was walking, and this kid just looked at me. And he was just staring at me. And once he stared at me, like 5 seconds, we locked eye contact, eye and eye, and he smiled. He just did that. He doesn't even know that little smile he gave me made my entire day just because he did that. It's so crazy how life works and how little things do matter. Like, again, it seems like it's nothing, but if you do those little things, it really matters. And I'm extremely glad that I'm becoming this person, or the person I am, and I'm becoming, because when I was a kid, I used to be really ungrateful. Like, I'm trying to recall this story of when I was a kid. It was probably like, I don't even know, maybe 12, 8, somewhere between those ages, you know, early preteens, you know. And I wanted was this computer. It was a computer, you know, it was one of those, it wasn't a real computer. It was one of those fake computers that it will teach you different things, like grammar, and it has different activities, and you can play games on it. You know, one of those kid computers, one of those things. But they were pretty expensive by that time because they just came out, and it was just the hot thing back in the day. And I wanted one really bad. Like, they were selling those for, like, 50 a pop, 60, you know, and at that time, that was a lot of money, too. Like, now, $50 for them, at least, I mean, it's still a lot of money in this day and age. But, like, before, it was even harder because we didn't have the type of money we have now. And I really wanted one of those. And my sister really wanted one of those, too. So, I remember, you know, we made our Christmas list. And Santa, air quotes, wrote a little letter, and it was one box, you know, because, well, I was really, you know, I wasn't the most fortunate kid when I was growing up. I didn't have a lot, but we only had like one box of a gift, and it was just one of those computers, which was awesome. But I wanted one for myself, and my sister wanted one for herself. And Santa wrote a little message saying that that unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of kids are demanding those ones, and there's not a lot of those left. And that's why he brought just one so I can share it with my sister. At this point, thinking now, you know, being a grown adult and you guys also listening to me, you'll be like, oh, that's so sweet. Sharing is caring. Sharing. But at that time, I was just pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? And my sister was like, what the fuck? Like, I want one for me, and I want one for me. And it's just little prude things that we do as kids with little, like, really arrogant things about sharing. And sharing is so important, man. Sharing is so important. Because I don't get enough satisfaction. I don't get enough, I don't get enough happiness if I'm not sharing something with someone. Because, for example, when I go on stage and I do stand-up or improv, whatever it is, I'm sharing something with the audience. That's something me and the audience are sharing together. We're sharing moments. We're sharing jokes. We're sharing laughter. And it's the base of everything in my life. Like, acting, I'm sharing moments with the rest of the world. Stand-up, I'm sharing moments with just those people right there, unless it's also recorded, then I'm sharing with the world as well. And it's all about sharing. And with friends, one of the best things in the entire world is to spend time with my friends. Friends and family. It's the two Fs. The two Fs. Friends and family. This is one of the best things ever. Especially when I haven't seen a friend in a long time, because we get to catch up. Like, for example, when I went back to Puerto Rico now recently in June, I reconnected with one of my friends from Puerto Rico. We were best friends since third grade. When we reached probably, I would say, beginning high school, end of middle school, I stopped the friendship. I stopped it completely, and I didn't reconnect with him till now. So we weren't friends for a long time, and it was all my fault. It wasn't his fault at all, because I just stopped talking to him, period. And it was because I've heard from him and other people as well that he started, like, smoking a ton of weed. And I was raised in a household that weed is the devil. Not necessarily the devil, but drugs and period. They're not good for you. If you do drugs, it's whack. And, you know, you're going to go to prison or whatever it is. But in particular, so weed for me was like cocaine. Weed and cocaine were equal to me. Like, they were horrible. X out, you know, I don't want part of that. So as I heard that, I said, and my mom was one that every single day, like, she would tell me, like, be careful who you're friends with. Be careful who you're friends with. Because she has just seen so many people getting, especially in that rough neighborhood we grew up at, you know, back in the day in Puerto Rico, they used to, you know, there were a lot of people that got dragged into gang wars and drug wars. And some of those people weren't even part of that system. It was because they were related to somebody, or they were just there. They were just friends with somebody there, or they were families with certain somebody. And either they have to flee the country, or they're eventually going to get murdered. So my mom didn't want me to get part of that circle. And, you know, the mentality, especially back in the day, is the whole, like, oh, weed is bad. Weed is bad, because the society and government and everybody has put it that way. It wasn't until I started college that I had my first experience with marijuana, MJ. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking good. Not only that, but also I'm like, I'm so wrong. Like, my whole values, all the things that I have in life, all the things that I was thinking that were bad, they're not really that bad, or they're not bad, period. And I was just, you know, I have to set my priorities right. So it's been this whole journey that I've had through You know, back in the 90s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, early to now. You know, it was a whole reevaluation of things. Of like, wow, like I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. I'm wrong about a bunch of stuff. And one thing that struck a chord on my mind was the fact that I had a theater teacher in high school, and she told me something that is still on my mind because it's so crazy how life works, you know. And she goes like, the mentality I have today, it's not the same mentality I'm going to have in 5 years. And it's not the same mentality I'm going to have in 10. It's not the same mentality I'm going to have in 15. And I'm like, and in my head, I was like, what's the bitch talking about? I'm going to be the same guy always and ever. And now looking back at life, I've changed. I mean, I'm still at the end. I'm at the core. I'm the same guy. I'm easy-go-lucky Steve Dez, you know, the cool motherfucker. But there's a lot of things that I changed, you know. Like, I was raised Catholic. I ended up dabbling into a bunch of religions, and I ended up with none. Sort of. I still, you know, go to church here and there, whatever, but I don't in particular see myself being from a specific religion. Like, I'm not a Scientologist, or I'm not a Catholic, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, you know, I'm me. That was something that changed really drastically. Also, my view on drugs in particular. Like, I remember when I was a kid, all I wanted to do is drink alcohol because that was the drug. And yes, people, alcohol is a drug. For those of you that didn't get the memo, but alcohol is a drug, you know, that you have, especially in America, you have to be 21 in order to drink. In Puerto Rico, you can drink at the age of 18. Being that, there's also the loophole of, like, if you're in Puerto Rico, if you're, I mean, in America, if you're 21, you're drinking already by the age of 17, 16, 16, 17, 18, 20. You know, all those ages, you're just drinking until you get to 21. That's when you really celebrate and you go wild and crazy and whatever. And in 18, so in Puerto Rico, you're drinking when you're 12, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, until you're 18 because the age is lower. So I was having my nights that I was just crashing and doing crazy fucking stuff. And I just couldn't wait to just be 18 and just have fun and party and drink and meet crazy momises. And, you know, just live the life up. And it's insane how everything has changed. Like, for example, I'm not a drinker at all now. Like, I literally have a drink probably twice a year. Did I even have a drink this year? Like, I don't, I'm not a drinker. I don't lie. I mean, I like the fact of being tipsy, you know, being tipsy at a party. That's cool. It makes you feel nice. It's cool and stuff. All the cool kids do it. But honestly, it's not my predilection. It's not something like I would do. Like, I'm not a person that hangs up bars and clubs and things like that. I'm not a fan of that type of lifestyle. Even though my lifestyle, the whole acting, I do acting mainly in the morning, and I do my stand-up at night. And the whole stand-up night, you know, it's I'm constantly surrounded by booze and people you just want to drink up and have a good time. Don't get me wrong. If you want to go and drink and whatever and bring me in, I'll go and have drinks with you. Like, I have nothing wrong, but I'm not a person that I get drunk or try to get tipsy, you know, try to get to that level. I just have a drink, a social drink here and there, whatever. I mean, I'm a lame person. I know what you're thinking. I'm a lame human being. Yes, I am, guys. I am. But I became this person little by little, just having more and more experience with alcohol. And I got to the point that I'm like, I'm destroying myself. Why would I even do that? Before, I used to be a huge soda drinker. Now, I haven't really been drinking soda. I'm not going to lie. I've had my share of Sprites here and there. But I haven't really actively been drinking soda for like 5-6 years now. And it's great. I'm drinking way more water, which it was the opposite of how I was years ago. Like, I would drink, it would be hard for me to think when I drank water. Now it's backwards. Now it's hard for me to think when I drank a soda, because I'm just drinking water all the time. And again, it's just crazy, that whole mentality of, like, in a couple of years, you're not necessarily going to be the same person. You're still going to be the same person. It's not like you're going to switch bodies like Mystic from fucking X-Men. Whatever her name is, Jennifer Lawrence character. But you're just going to be improving things, either for the good or for the bad. It's your choice, man. It's your choice to take. You can either be the best person you can ever be, or you can be the fucking worst person you could be. It's all on you. It's all in your hands. Nobody's pressuring you for anything. Don't think society is making you feel a certain way. If you think that's happening, stop watching TV. Stop watching TV. Take control of your life. Grab your balls and say, this is it, man. I am taking control of my life. I'm not letting no motherfucker telling me what to do. And that's the way you should live life, period. No matter who you are, you should always be in control. There's no reason, way, shape, or form that you should be under somebody's, like, magnifying glass, you know, just getting burned by the sun like an ant slowly and slowly. No. You should be fucking the king of kings. You should be the person you want to be. And that's why I tell you on almost every single podcast to go and follow your dreams. If right now you're looking at yourself and you're not happy for some reason, particular or your career, it's your own fault. It's no, don't blame it on anybody. Don't blame it. Oh, mom pressured me to do this. I got raised in a really Mormon family, and they just want me to follow Mormonism. Mormonism, is that even a word? No, don't blame it on nobody. Blame it on yourself, honestly, period. I have many opportunities also that I was, you know, I was secluded. I was in a house. I was, you know, I couldn't do much, but I made much. I just made it happen. I started creating. Oh, I randomly have a digital camera. What about if I just start doing videos with those? Ooh, I bet that will be cool. Ooh, what about if I write my own play? Let me write my own play. Ooh, that would be cool. Ooh. Oh, how about if I direct, like, a music video and I cast people and I hire them? Ooh, that would be cool. Oh, how about if I make my own podcast? That would be cool. Oh my God, cool. That would be cool. Yeah. But then you put it, the thing is, people put excuses quickly. Quickly. They go like, oh, I don't know how to do that. Oh, that will take too long to learn. Oh my God, it seems like everything is handed to, like, people like Steve, you know, and why don't I get those opportunities? Because you don't make those opportunities happen. If you're not actively working, if you're not actively doing something for yourself, you're going to be stuck in the same exact place, which some people like to be stuck in the same place. It's not nothing wrong with that. I'm a person that I like to move forward. I like to do bigger and much better things. And that's just the way I am. And just some people need to get pushed. That's why I constantly remind you, go write your goals, do the shit you got to do. But some people don't need anything. And they just go, they're doers, and they go and do it. And I fucking admire those people. They're fucking awesome. But then there's some other people that they're just complainers. They just sit down on their ass and do nothing, absolutely anything, and they just expect everything to be handed to them because maybe some things were handed to them and they just got used to that. And I'm here to tell you, get off your lazy ass and do something for your life, man. Do something for your life. Right now, you could be Michael Jordan if you wanted to. If you really, really, really wanted to, you'd be on that basketball court throwing hoops from fucking 6 a.m. to noon. with the sun blazing on your back, and you will go and do it, man. You will do it. If you really wanted that small, tiny computer, you can totally eventually go and buy it, man. It's going to be cheaper. It's not going to be $50 like it was back in the day. Okay? No, but that's all I wanted to tell you guys. It's like I really want you guys to move forward and do bigger and brighter things because I believe in you. I believe in you in all my heart. If you're listening to my podcast, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much because without your support, I wouldn't be doing this. Because if I was, I mean, at the end, I would honestly, let me rephrase that. If you guys weren't listening, I would still be doing the podcast because at the end, I don't give a fuck. Like I don't care necessarily of like who's listening or who's not. I just care that I am doing my part. And that's all I can do. I cannot, you know, be like forcing people, hey, listen to my podcast or do this or whatever. And I've had a really big active following, you know, after doing this whole podcast. I never thought in my wildest dreams, I thought it was going to be a slower buildup. Like I would have to wait like a year or two maybe or three, you know, to actually get a following off of my podcast. But I've seen tremendous following just of what, 6 months that I've been doing this podcast. But not only because I have listeners that are brand new here to the podcast, but also people that have been following me since the YouTube days and the stand-up comedy that I have online and other things that I do, acting. They see me on TV or on something. They go like, hey, let me check out more stuff about that guy. And I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say I appreciate you. I appreciate you and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to express myself to you and be like your buddy, be your friend, you know. And that's one thing, you know, in my journey, I also found before I wanted the whole glamour and red carpets and award shows and all that bullshit and call people fans because I thought it was cool. Oh, yeah, be a celebrity. People are going to love me and I am going to love some people and some people are going to hate, but they're all going to love me. And no, I don't want none of that stuff. I being in Hollywood and seeing the real world out here and fuck, man, why this thing keeps doing that? I don't understand. I don't get it. Oh, my God. Oh. Anyway, I'm back. I'm having some technical issues, like, here and there. But I'm back. No, but when I came out here, you know, I wanted all that before. I'm not going to lie. I really wanted. I wanted the whole thing. But coming out here and seeing how things are and how the business works and the entire thing, you know, I don't want it. I don't want it. Like, if they give it to me, cool. But I don't really want. I'm not looking for that. That's not what I'm here for. I don't want to do that. I don't need that. I don't want that in my life. Like, recognition is great. I appreciate it. It makes a valid point of like, you're definitely doing the right thing. It's great, but it's not what it's about. It's not this business acting and stand up and anything you want to accomplish, because not necessarily you want to be an actor because you listen to this or whatever you want to accomplish, but never go and try to do something because you want a certain award or you want a certain recognition. You should just be happy doing what you do. If you're not happy in doing what you do, then you're in the wrong place. You should be doing something that you enjoy just doing every day. My goal is to work with possibly every... I mean, at the end, I cannot work with everybody, but I want to work with as many people as possible as I can, just creating things together, whether it's a music video, whether it's a movie, whether it's a TV show, whether it's whatever it is. I want to sketches, improv scenes, you know, anything, small, big, whatever it is. I just want to create with people. I'm a creator. I like just making art, making visual art, making sound, making anything and everything possible. That's my goal. That's what I want to do. So at the end, when I die, I want to look back on my life and be like, I accomplished it. I worked with so many different people. And I didn't get to work with a lot of people because there's a lot of fucking people in this world. And, I accomplished my goal. My goal is that is just to work with as many people as I can. And the people that I love working with, especially the ones that I just have a blast working with, keep them in my life and keep making great things with them. Because I not only want to work with different people all the time, but I also want to work with those that really not only give me the opportunity to work with them, but also want to keep on creating amazing stuff together. And that's my goal. And it's been my goal for the longest time. I just didn't quite realize it. And again, award shows are bullshit. Let me tell you guys. So if you guys watch award shows, again, I'm not going to judge you in any shape, way, or form. Like, I respect your beliefs, whatever you do. But award shows are mainly bullshit. BS. I worked in a couple award shows. And, that's why I don't watch them anymore. I used to be one of those freaks like you guys. Just watching an award show comes the X award show, comes the Y award show, the Z award show, and I watched them for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, all the musical performances, all anything that they have to offer, I watch it. But I honestly could care less now. Care completely less about it. I don't watch those at all. But I still waste time. I still find creative ways to waste time. And one of those, I was going to do before the podcast, but then I said the podcast is a little bit more important. And also because the episode is recorded, it's not live, I enjoy more the thrill of watching it live. Because it's like, what's going to happen? You know, you don't know. And it's Monday Night Raw, WWE. I'm a huge, if you guys know me, I'm a huge WWE fan. It's my favorite thing since I'm a kid. And I don't care. Again, I don't care what y'all say. I know y'all are judging me right now. But I don't get about anything you guys think about my wrestling, because my wrestling is my wrestling. So y'all got your Barbies and your shit that you guys enjoy, but I enjoy my wrestling. It's my thing. No, but I've been thinking of, like, why do I still watch wrestling? I know it's fake, but it is the stories, man. They're so good. Like, and I just been into that since I'm a kid, and it's just so fun. And watching on TV is amazing, but you don't get the full experience until you watch it live. Oh my God, watching it live is honestly the best experience I've ever had in my entire life. I only been to one NBA game, which my buddy Shoney. He's going to be on the show. He's been on the show with Carl Tart. By the way, I apologize for smacking my lips too much. I'm smacking it like crazy. I've been noticing that lately. I'm smacking my lips a lot. I'm like, like that. I know that was horrible, but I need to control myself. I just need some water. Let me get a sip of water real quick. Oh, I'm back. Water. Notice I said water, not soda. Get it? Step up your level. Step up your level, guys. Get on my water level. Get on my water level. And if you don't like water like that, I mean, everybody should like water. Come on. Water is the base of anything. Pretty much. Anything and everything drinkable has at least 2% of water or something. Whether it's carbonated water or regular filtered water, but it has some type of water. Or toilet water. Sometimes they give you toilet water. They don't like you in a restaurant or something. I'm not saying. that they do that at the restaurant I used to work at. But they could do that. They could do that. No, man, Christmas is this week. I'm so grateful for absolutely everything that has happened in my life. This year was definitely not the year I was planning to have. I was planning to have way more victories than all the failures I had. But, man, you sometimes need that John Cena year. I call it the John Cena year because last year, John Cena had a terrible year. I mean, he had a good year. He still got paid and he still got to do a bunch of shit. But at least matches-wise, if you're a WWE fan like me, he was losing every big match. Like, he lost. He won this year against The Rock, but he lost last year against The Rock. And he lost against Brock Lesnar. And he lost against CM Punk. And he lost against so many people. He was just losing. And that's why I call it the John Cena year, because it was terrible. It was just a horrible year, man. My friend got murdered. My mom got hit with cancer. But then, you know, after a while, you know, things cannot, you know, you're constantly thinking things cannot get worse. But one thing I really encourage you guys is to have a more positive mindset. Like, no matter if you're getting hit left and right with bad things, bad news happening all the time, just keep pushing, man. Keep moving. Because if you constantly think, well, that was my problem. I was I didn't get hit with a jab. I got hit with a fucking haymaker when I got the news of my friend. Then I got hit, like, right in the balls. Like, just straight right hook, right to the balls, low blow. The referee didn't even see it. He didn't give a fuck either if he saw it. And I just got hit when my mom got hit with cancer. Then I had to, you know, I had to pay and I'm still paying a bunch of loans and things. Like I pay my student loans, thankfully, completely with, the game show money. And, I still have dental payments that I'm doing and, you know, medical bills and all that. I'm doing slowly but surely, but I'm holding steady. I was completely broke, unemployed. And, you know, nothing. I just had zero hope in life. My friend died. My mom got cancer, doing chemo, doing radio therapy, broke, unemployed, nowhere to go. I don't know what the fuck to do. You know, I was at that point in my life this year, at the many moments of this year. And I honestly didn't thought at all that none of that was going to happen, period. None of that. Like, I thought 2013 was going to be my year, and I was going to do all these amazing and big things. But, you know, at the end of the day, I pushed. I pushed forward because I said, if I'm not moving, that's why things are happening. Bad. I'm just worrying about bad things happening. I mean, I get it. It's really hard. It was extremely hard for me to recover from all those things happening. But if you have a more positive mindset, like things happen for a reason, you should push forward. You should work even extra harder because all those bad things are happening and you want to erase them from your life. Then you should work extremely, extremely hard to get to the point that you want to get. And I worked really hard, and I was on an MTV show this year. I got into a talk show. Finally, that was one of my dreams. Like, I want to get into a talk show, like a big talk show. And I got into a big talk show. I cannot reveal anything because it's coming at the beginning of 2014. So I'm not going to say anything about the talk show yet. But I'm in this huge talk show that's coming up, and I filmed a couple movies. I got in many more TV shows. I shot many commercials. I did a lot of things. I did a bunch of stand up. I did tons of improv. I got to travel back home and actually got to see not only my mom. Which is, she's doing great, guys. Don't worry. She's not in chemo anymore. Thanks to God. She's in radio still, radiotherapy, but she, you know, the big one is the chemo. That was the one really making her throw up, but she's doing great right now, and I'm so happy for that. But I got to see my grandma, man. I got to see my grandma that I haven't seen since I'm 10 years old. Like 10 or 8 was the last time I saw my grandma. Because my grandma lives in DR, the Dominican Republic, and like, in the countryside there, like there's no fucking TV like that or cell phones, like she's just there, man. And she came to Puerto Rico to visit, and she loved it, man. The first time of her getting on a plane, period. Like she has never left there. She claims that she just turned 79. I think she's putting some years, you know, on the back. But my grandma, you know, is a strong, really strong old lady. She can push you at least 2 feet if she really tries. No, but man, you don't understand the joy that I had when I got to see my grandma. I got to hang out with her for a couple of days when I went back home. It was pretty, pretty cool, man, to just gain all that knowledge and to actually have one-on-one moments with her and just to see, you know, my lineage, my whole family dynasty in a way. Now that I'm talking about dynasty, should I talk about it? Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's mention it. Duck Dynasty. Let's talk about that real quick, just super quick. Right now, the old guy, what's his name, Phil Robertson? I think his name's Phil Robertson. Well, the Robertson's the oldest guy, the head household family guy, dude. So he said some comments for GQ saying that he hates homosexuals. And again, here comes the whole, you know, my story again, the whole marijuana story that I gave up on a friend, and I gained him right back, you know, after my whole experience. This dude's been living in, like, wherever they live, Louisiana or whatever south place they live at in America. And he's been raised that way for the longest time. Again, if I was stuck in my house, if I wouldn't have left my house, if I was there for my entire life, if I would have chose a life there, I would probably be with the same mentality. I would be like, weed is horrible. And I, you know, I probably had all that same mentality. The only reason I grew so much with knowledge is because I gave myself, and I also had the privilege to, you know, travel to so many places in America. Like I lived in Florida for a while, I lived in New York for a while, I lived in, I got to go on a trip from New York on a truck. From New York all the way to California and back, you know, I got the chance to explore, to expand my mind and knowledge. And that dude was probably has not, I mean, now he has a TV show and stuff, but he's probably the same guy. Like, he doesn't really want to go out like that. And, you know, he just wants to stay home. He has a bunch of money, so he doesn't give a fuck. And, you know, he stays true to himself. So at the end, that's all I'm inviting you to do. I don't hate on that guy at all. I love homosexuals. I love with all my, not like that from afar. I'm not a homosexual. But like one of my bestest friends, he's super gay. Like he tells me in graphic detail almost every sexual experience he has. And I ain't mad at that. At first, I was kind of weirded out when he started saying all that shit when I was like in high school. But now at this point, I don't give a fuck because guys talk about that too. Guys do it all the time. Like yeah, I was fucking this girl like from behind and doing all this shit. And so if a guy is talking about another guy doing the same thing, it's sort of the same thing. I mean, it's different, but it's sort of the same thing. Like they're just talking about their sexual life. They just want to vent with somebody about it. And I'm mad at that, man. I cannot judge you. You do what you do, man. Do whatever you want to do. Just as long as it's not interfering with me, it's cool. Like, you know, I'm not going to... If you go and try to holler at me to get on a threesome with you and another guy, I'll be like, yo, that's stepping over the boundary. Or I'll just say no. I'm like, I don't want to be part of that. It's not my thing, okay? You do you. But yeah, I can. You cannot hate a person just because he's expressing the way he feels. You can't. Because that's the way that person feels. So if a person is, I don't even know what other example I can give you. But if, for example, my love for wrestling, if you judge me because I love wrestling, who the fuck are you? You probably love football or love cricket or love whatever the fuck you want to love. But it's what you chose to love. And I'm not judging you because of that. We all have different interests. We all come from different places. And we all want to just be understood in a level of some sort. But for example, my girlfriend's a huge Vampire Diaries fan. I don't judge her because of that. I dislike that show with a passion. I think it's horrible acting, and I just don't like that show. It only took me probably 10 minutes of one episode to like figure it out that I will never see this show ever in my entire life. And you know what would be funny? If I get casted on that show and and then I'm just trashing that show. But that happens too. Like I talk in a negative light about Ricky Martin, one of the Puerto Rican idols. And now I'm friends with him because I got to do some work for his foundation and we became friends, and I love him. He's such a positive person, and you know, I got to actually know him. Before, I was talking out of my butt, you know, I didn't know him at all or anything. And I was just judging somebody by whatever I thought it was true. But it's great to accept positive change in your life. And that's why I invite all of you to do. I invite all of you to be more positive and to help others and to do something that will change the world. 2014 is coming up, and it's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to become better. It's your opportunity to be ahead of the game. And it's your opportunity to make a change, whether it's positive or negative. You decide, and that's with what I'm going to leave you on this podcast today. I really want to thank you guys, especially y'all that made it through. I know y'all were pissed because I didn't do the podcast on Sunday. My bad. I'm sorry. Like I said, I had a lot of things going on. And I want to give a shout out to my sponsor for this episode. I know, guys, it was just one sponsor this episode because I know that I try to keep it short for you guys, you know, so you guys can get really good stuff. But if you really enjoy podcasts like me, listen, please check out The Note Show. The Note Show is a brand new show from England, and it features interviews with creative professionals of all kinds. Like, you can think about it, they have it. They have jazz pianists, graphic novel writers, Hollywood film directors, a bunch of people. Anything that's creative-wise, they try to put on the show. And it's on England, but the great thing about it is that they are coming now to America. Because they're going to tour around, you know, here, and they want to interview a lot of creative types. And since they're sponsoring me, I might be able to, you know, squeeze myself in their show. To check them out, you can find them on iTunes by searching The Note Show or go to www.thenoteshow.com. And they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, you name whatever social media, they probably have it. Check them out. They're definitely worth the listen to. It's hosted by the amazingly talented Joshua Note. He's the host of the show. He goes in-depth with interviews, and it's a pretty fun show. So if you like my type of show, check them out. He's super awesome, great human being. So for what we've talked and stuff, he's such a great guy. And I've actually checked out his show. It's actually pretty funny. Pretty funny and really interesting interviews with different types of people. So go and check him out at www.thenoteshow.com. Well, anyway, guys, I'll see you this week and next Sunday. I'll see you in the next brand new Steve Des Island podcast. And this week, I'll have a special guest for you. You know, it's been a little tough because of the holidays and stuff. A lot of people are away, you know, going back home and things like that. I'm working like an animal, but I'm here, guys, and that's all that matters. So go check out The Note Show. And if anything, just check out previous episode of the Steve Des Island podcast, unless you listen to all of them. And nothing, I'll see you next time on a brand new Steve Des Island podcast.
You've been listening to the Steve Des Island podcast. Be sure to visit stevedes.com for more information about this episode, as well as past and future episodes. Rate and review this episode on iTunes. Don't forget to follow Steve Des on Twitter at SteveDesTV and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/SteveDesShow. See you next time.